Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, December 16th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Today we have a very special guest on. His name is Tex Mars. We've interviewed him before, and not only are we the recipients of his newsletter, you can see this right now, The Power of Prophecy, which we think is the best newsletter out there. Not only does it expose the New World Order, not only does it expose the phony politicians, but it also exposes the phony Christian leaders who purport to be one thing, but are in actuality something very, very different. Tex is also the author of these four books, among these four books.
Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, Project Lucid, Circle of Intrigue, and Big Sister is Watching You, which I thought was an excellent book, too.
Right. And it's also very timely with Hillary Clinton, again, rearing her fangs for 2008. He's also the producer of these videos, The Eagle Has Landed, Illuminati, Mystery Babylon, Thunder Over Zion, and finally, Cauldron of Abaddon. And last but not least, what we consider to be his life work, which is just released a couple of weeks ago.
The monster book.
Yes, Codex Magica. And as you can see, it takes two hands to hold this book up. It's very, very impressive.
Very eye-opening work.
Yeah. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Tex Mars to Wing TV. How you doing, Tex?
Hi, Tex.
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, Victor and Lisa, I want to tell you how proud I am to be on your program, because I always go to your website and find, man, what these folks really do their research. And y'all have done so much to expose 9/11 as an inside job, maybe more than just about anybody. So I'm just delighted to be with you to really expose and shine some light of truth on this incredible darkness. And you know, they're conducting these occult rituals, and that's what my book is about, an expose of the occult rituals of these high-powered men and women right before our very eyes.
Yes.
And as you said right before the show, you have over 1,000 photographs in this book. So let me start with this, is that you bring up a man named Aleister Crowley, who has links even to this day to Scientology, to Kenneth Anger, definitely to rock and roll. Explain Aleister Crowley's role in what he called magic, spelled M-A-G-I-C-K.
Well, of course, magic, a lot of people just think magic is sort of like Disney World or something, and they believe there's black magic or white magic. But in truth, there really is only one kind of magic, and that's an evil force. Aleister Crowley, of course, was really at the very font of evil. You know, and of course, he's passed on now many decades, but his books live on. He was led by spirit guides, in other words, demon spirits. AWAS, one, it was the name he gave one.
Yeah.
And he gave him a book called The Book of the Law. And in it is the commandment of Satanists everywhere. It was taken up by Anton LaVey, you know, the high priest of the Church of Satan. And that commandment is, do as thou will shall be the whole of the law. In other words, it's really a lawless code. And this is really the code of the Illuminati. Whatever they can get away with, they will do. They have no morals. They're megalomaniacs. They're psychopathic personalities. And by the way, I explain those terms in my books, so there'll be no mistake about it. But Crowley, you're right in what you say, Victor. L. Ron Hubbard was one of his, let's just say, disciples or students, and from him came this incredible false religion called Scientology. But there was Jack Parsons, who became one of his high priests. And Parsons, they actually have, you know, a monument to him at the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. And yet, here he was conducting satanic sexual rituals, because that's what the Illuminati is. It's just a global sex cult, really at its bottom. And he was conducting what he called working Babylon rituals, sex rituals, in the belief that they could invoke the devil to incarnate into a baby that was born from these sex rituals, and thus the Antichrist would be produced. And they would be very proud to have been the parents of the Antichrist. Now, this is, of course, hideous to us, but to these people, again, being psychopathic personalities, they have no sense of morals. They destroy nations, they destroy buildings, they destroy lives, and have no remorse whatsoever about it. So Crowley was at really the center of this, but it's interesting. You mentioned even rock and roll. Yeah, he was on the cover of one of the Beatles albums.
Uh-huh.
So certainly yes. They knew of his works. But we have to understand the Illuminati, it's not just political, economic. It is also religious.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At the basis of all of it, indeed, are satanic demons and forces.
Right. In your book, Tex, you indicate that the double triangle or six-pointed star was never used by King David of Israel, and so the name Star of David is a misnomer. Dr. O.J. Graham says, according to you in your book, that the six-pointed star is a tool of Satan.
Now Dr. Graham is a very interesting person. She communicates with me quite a bit. She's written the classic little book called The Six-Pointed Star. And by the way, she is Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, but yet she's exposed the six-pointed star. But in all of the occult world, the hexagram is the six-pointed star.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this was not used by David. In fact, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Paul talked about how the children of Israel who came out of Egypt brought with them, very sadly, worship of not only the golden calf, but the star god, whom they call Rimphan or Kiyun, which are two names of the devil. And so they worship this star. Throughout the occult world, and that includes all of the secret societies, the Skull and Bones, Freemasonry, they worship star gods and goddesses,
mm-hmm.
believing that each planet, each star, is actually a divine, intelligent entity. And I know this, again, sounds incredible to us, but remember, some 50 million Americans, according to a recent poll, believed in astrology to a certain extent.
That's right.
And so we have an incredible belief and of these star gods, which, by the way, also has a basis in Scientology.
Yeah. Now, Tex, before we go on, tell everyone how they can find your website and also your latest book, Codex Magica.
Sure. Of course, you know, you have WingTV.com,
mm-hmm.
and you have my books there. But also, our website is called PowerOfProphecy.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
PowerOfProphecy.com. We also have ConspiracyWorld.com. ConspiracyWorld.com. It'll have all my books and videos, and also have the articles that I talk about Codex Magica,
mm-hmm.
my new book. And by the way, the subtitle of this book, as you, Lisa and Victor know, is the secret signs, mysterious symbols, and hidden code
of
the Illuminati.
And you certainly point those out. Now, anyone, Tex, that delves into the subject of conspiratology, of course, comes across one of the most prevalent subjects, which is secret societies. In your opinion, what do they, and I want to stress they, what do they see as so secret that we're not allowed to see it or understand it?
Or know it.
Well, you see, they have to worship a hidden god, because if they really told us whom they worshipped, then the people would be so repulsed,
uh-huh.
and find it so sickening, then, of course, no one, you'd never vote for a Bill Clinton or a George W. Bush again,
right.
knowing the true god that they worship. So they must disguise what they do. And just as we have Christian churches, and so forth, they have their lodges. They have their secret societies. But there's a satanic thread and connection with all of these secret societies. You mentioned Crowley, for example. Certainly his satanic philosophy is at a bedrock. There's the Jewish Kabbalah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That really goes all the way back to Babylon. But I have found that in whether it's the Druid sect of witchcraft or just the Church of Wicca, or Freemasonry, or Rosicrucianism, all of these secret societies and orders are based on the teachings of the Jewish Kabbalah, a very mm-hmm. wicked system of ancient sorcery, divination, worship of a multiplicity of gods. And yet the Kabbalah is seeing a tremendous increase in popularity due to Hollywood.
With Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna, Britney Spears,
yeah.
Mick Jagger is involved. involved. And by the way, I've seen Bill Clinton running around at his book signings with the little red wristband around, showing he's in the Kabbalah.
Oh, interesting.
I have a picture of George W. Bush on his way to holding a Jewish Talmud in his hand, going to Jewish Talmud classes.
Tex, in your book you describe several strata of Illuminati. They play different roles and have different purposes. How would you characterize, say, politicians and presidents versus the media versus people like Rockefeller and Rothschild? Where do they sit on this, on these layers?
Well, you know, Lisa, it's interesting to me. You know, in any social structure that has a lot of money, power, and influence, and fame, and so forth, you're going to find the wannabes, the hanger-ons, you know, the groupies, let's just call them. Like the rock and roller has his groupies. And you have entertainment stars, you have the media of big names, the Barbara Walters and all. You even have sports and athletes stars. Mm-hmm. And all of these, to a great extent, you know, you mentioned Madonna. What she really knows about the inside truth of the Kabbalah is very, very thin, I'm sure. She probably believes that this miracle water will change her DNA structure and cause her to be a god being. You know, there's some silly propaganda they spread out for the masses to attract. But there is certainly a hidden inner core. I call it the hidden circle of the Illuminati. And it probably extends only to around 300 to 400 people that are really the they're very, very rich, many times behind the scenes. And they use the known names, the Clintons, the Blairs, the Jacques Chirac, and the Bushes, as sort of cover fronts. When one of these people fall, for example, Jim Baker.
Right.
You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty much an uneducated guy, but that he reached an uneducated market with his PTL club, he and Tammy Faye, and they had millions of followers. So they were sucked into false teachings and doctrines and all of that, and they set Jim Baker up in power. Now, once Jim Baker, though, you know, messed up, he was a gay guy, you know, he was going down to Palm Beach and he had little boys messing around like a pedophile. Believe me, you know, this is true. It wasn't just Jessica, whatever her name was,
Han.
But when all this came out and began to come out, and all the homosexual pedophilia was about to come out, man, whammo, they just took away his whole ministry.
That's right.
They sent their lawyer down, sent Jerry Falwell, and they went into a back room and they forced old Jim Baker to sign it over.
Yeah.
And this is the way they do. When somebody messes up, and of course, if they really don't go along with the agenda, they can just kill them.
Just kill,
like
yeah.
Bill Cooper.
Yeah.
Well, JFK, for example, Richard Nixon. I show him in the book. You remember when he resigned from office in disgrace? He went to the White House lawn, Victor and Lisa, and was stepping on the stairs to go up to the helicopter.
The final White House farewell.
Yeah. And it was like a farewell, and he did his arm. Well, I'd always seen what a weird gesture. It wasn't just a wave goodbye. He actually did some kind of a symbol with his arm. I discovered in my research, and this is in the book, for example, just one of the many hundreds and hundreds of pictures, that is one of the penal signs in Freemasonry, and it basically means, you know, that he is acknowledging that he made unauthorized disclosure, that he made war, let's just say, on the secrets of the Illuminati, and therefore he was punished. And he was acknowledging to secret society members worldwide, I deserve this punishment. I accept my punishment. And that's an amazing thing when you think about it, the power they had to force the resignation of Nixon. And let me tell you the real secret behind Nixon.
Okay.
He determined he was going to break into, use the plumbers, the White House plumbers, to break into the office of the National Archives, and he was going to reveal the truth about the John F. Kennedy assassination, about Pearl Harbor, and many other lies that were told the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided that the way he could destroy the Illuminati and retain his own power was to do this. And of course, this would have been astonishing. Remember, even it's president himself was not allowed the key to the National Archives.
Wow.
Those secrets are closed up. And then that begs the question, who can get in there?
Yeah, really.
Well, Tex, let's go back to November 2004. George Bush, quote-unquote, won the election again. And at the inauguration, you see him, his wife, and his two daughters. And even though you can't see this, they're all holding up this sign, the finger, their pointer finger and their pinky. Okay?
The devil horns.
Yeah, the devil horns, also called two cornudo. And when they were photographed and some questions started being raised, the excuse they gave was, oh, this is just a hook 'em horn sign, which is untrue. So tell us the importance of what this sign means that they were flashing to everyone.
Well, of course, it does mean the Il Cornuto, or the Diabolica sign, the sign of the devil. You know, it goes back to the horns.
Uh-huh.
When in the gate of ancient Babylon, on one side in mosaic was a huge bull. And they worshipped, you know, the bull under many guises. And so the horns, the Mithras, they always slayed a bull and bathed the initiate in blood. So the horns are really symbolic of the devil. Now, it's interesting, you know, any of his advisors would have told Bush not to give that sign because internationally, everybody watching on TV in other countries, it caused a furor. They knew right away this is a deep satanic sign. Now, Jenna Bush, I think it's Jenna of the two daughters.
Right.
She is a University of Texas graduate.
Right.
But the president is not, and neither is Laura, nor is Barbara Bush even. I have a picture of her giving the sign.
Yeah, they're all doing it.
And various other individuals, even people from other countries who aren't graduates of that university.
Yeah, it's funny. People say, well, that's just a Longhorn sign, but you're right. Prime Minister Berlusconi of Italy.
Right.
He's giving the sign.
Mayor
Marion Barry, former mayor of Washington, D.C., he's given the sign.
That's weird.
Lance Armstrong, although he's a Texan, he didn't graduate from the University of Texas. I show him giving the sign. You know, the champion bicyclist, whom I've always liked and admired.
Yes.
But, you know, the sign I don't too much admire. But by the way, I also show a woman named Manuela Ruda in the book giving the sign, and she and her husband were arrested for conducting a satanic ceremony in Germany in which they invited a man, killed him, stabbed him exactly 66 times. It was the sixth day of the month.
Wow.
And then they drank his blood, and then they lay in a coffin, an oak coffin, and had sex afterwards to celebrate the murder of this man. And it shows Manuela Ruda, this woman who's now under arrest and waiting trial, giving the sign of the devil.
Text.
So, you know, there is a very, very dark side of this sign.
Yes. Oh,
absolutely.
The Priory of Sion, it boasts to be, the members boast to be directly descended from the line of Jesus, and it's said to be the secret society of all secret societies. What's with this Priory of Sion, the mystery of them?
You know, one of the things, of course, is they believe that Jesus had a mystical body, and that his blood has a mystique to it. They believe, of course, as you said, that Jesus, these occultists of the Priory of Sion, that's supposedly headquartered in Europe, but obviously has a lot of American clout. And I show Hillary Clinton, actors, actresses,
mm-hmm.
And many others, Bill Clinton, of course, and many politicians giving the sign of the spear. Mm-hmm. And the spear, the legend is that the Roman soldier named our centurion named Longinus
yep.
Stabbed Jesus with a spear, and then his blood ran out on the ground, and that made that spear holy. So they do this holy sign. They always hold it down, excuse my language, toward the genital area.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, all of these cults are sex cults, and thus they teach that Jesus practiced the lie that Jesus practiced polygamy and had many wives. You'll remember the terrible, blasphemous movie, The Last Testament of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Kazantzakis, who wrote the novel, I believe was a member of the Priory of Sion. And then Scorsese, the Hollywood director, who just, I think, hated Christianity because he was a flunky from a Catholic Jesuit seminary, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
He had trained to be a priest, but he was too evil character of Christ.
That's right. Now, speaking of that, you have a very famous depiction in your book. It was done by Eliphaz Levi of Baphomet, this androgynous Baphomet. Who was Baphomet, to those who don't know, and how did he become this sort of prototype for the Luciferian principle?
Well, back around 500 years ago, there was a secret society in Europe called the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
They were headquartered in France, and it was found by the King of France in an investigation that these people had worldwide influence, and they were their beliefs were very similar to the Priory of Sion, and it was found that they were worshiping a horrible idol that they called Baphomet. And this idol was a goat-headed god, and he had his arms in such a way that one pointed up and one pointed down, which would give an indication of the infamous motto of all occult societies, which is the boast by Satan, as above, so below.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning, you know, that he intends to be like the Most High. He will conquer heaven and reconcile heaven and hell and make it one. And by the way, that's also the reason for the 33rd degree logo of Freemasonry, the double-headed eagle, as well, the as above, so below. But that horrible, horrible idol that was worshipped, I believe that idol is worshipped by a number of occult secret societies even today. And the beard of Baphomet, he's a bearded goat now with horns. That beard caught on, and you find many occultists with that pointed beard, like a triangle pointing down to hell. And even today, among satanic worshippers, it is very popular.
These Illuminati elites, they are really rebelling against God, aren't they? They think they are gods.
Yeah, you know, that's what the devil did. He rebelled against God, and now he's going to have a fit punishment. And these men are joining in this rebellion. And, you know, this is the thing about God. Many people say, how can a person be a Christian? The truth about it is, of course, you have to believe the essentials of the Christian faith and what Jesus did on the cross. But it's interesting that I'm convinced, Victor and Lisa, and maybe you'll agree with me on this, God will have no one with him in heaven who is disobedient, who is rebellious, who hates him.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Old Testament, there's a verse that I've always you know, read with great contemplation. It says, it's God in Isaiah. He says, all those who hate me love death.
Well, let's hope that God thwarts their agenda again.
Yeah. Now, Tex, we only have a couple more minutes here. Give your website address on once more, and I'm going to hold up this book again, Codex Magica.
This is an excellent
sure.
book.
They can go on the website, and they can read. We have several articles about Codex Magica, including many very, very unusual pictures of people doing handshakes, hand signs, some of the biggest names in the world.
Some of the most
likable
people.
That would be powerofprophecy.com. By the way, we also have a website just called CodexMagica.com.
Okay, okay.
Cool. CodexMagica.com.
Yeah. Now, we can sit here literally for days and days and talk about everything in the book, and I wanted to get into the Founding Fathers, but we'll save that for next time. My last question is about Karl Marx. And some people know he was a Jewish radical, but also most people aren't aware that he also had very huge interests in Satanism. So how do you think this interest in Satanism affected his views on communism, which is the worst form of government there is?
Well, his being a Satanist, of course, remember that quote from the Bible, all those who hate me love death.
Mm-hmm.
In a poem that he wrote called Olamem, which, by the way, is a when they turn something backwards, it's Emmanuel, spelled backwards. He says that his real goal is to annihilate, to destroy the whole universe. He would like it just to be destroyed in a huge blast. And so this guy takes anarchism to an extreme. But Marx was a Satanist. His maid, who worked for him for many years, talked about how he would put on the Jewish prophylactery on his head. And he had an altar with black candles and would utter in some kind of a Latin language words evidently to Satan. He actually worshipped at an altar of Satan. Now, in the book I show him, by the way, giving a Freemasonic hand sign that I call the hidden hand of the men of Jabulon.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the degree also of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, they discover, they're told finally in that initiation ritual, the Mason, that the true God they worship is not the God of the Bible, but he's a God named Jabulon. Oh. And that's a combination God, a hideous combination of Jehovah, or Yahweh, and Baal, you know, who's mentioned in the Bible as the devil, and On, who is also known as Osiris, the Egyptian sun god.
Many people will be very surprised to see how pervasive this symbolism is throughout the media and mainstream news sources.
And to all those Marxists out there, you just heard what your founder is all about. Well, Tex, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV today. Again, the book is Codex Magica.
Tex, you're fascinating.
It is. It really is. And
thank you so much.
And keep up the great work, okay?
Hey, the same, and I highly recommend WingTV.com. I go to it every day, so I appreciate your work as well.
Well, thanks, Tex.
Thank
and we want to remind everyone tonight, we're going to be on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll radio show. I believe it's 11 o'clock Eastern time. And also, thank you to everybody out there who's been sending us Christmas cards, especially Patriot Jim Kujua.
Very much.
It means the world to
us.
So
our website's WingTV.net.
Right. But you already knew that.
Right.
So have a good weekend. Now, we have something very, very special, a five-part series starting next week.
Right.
We're not going to let you in on the surprise, but this is a must-see. It's going to run from Monday through Friday.
We've been working on it for a few weeks now.
And that's what we're going to devote all our shows to next week. So make sure, if you're going to tune in anytime next week, tune in to Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there is a lot going on.
See you then.